Today's episode contains some adult situations and might be triggering for some. Listener discretion advised. A great big thank you goes to our producers for this week's episode: Danielle Newhouse, Ginger Cornejo, Mike DeLima, Devin Williamson, and Savannah Segeda. Thank you guys so much for keeping the campfire burning over at our Patreon. If you're interested in bonus content and some other fun, creepy stuff, you can check out patreon.com/nightmaresociety. Also, thank you to the contributors for tonight's stories: user Nashville Bird, Savannah, and user Anna Molly Libs. Now, get comfy and prepare yourself for another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
It was winter of 2015, and I was working at a doctor's office in Branson, Missouri. I had just gotten a new iPhone, and I was excited to try out the time-lapse mode for its camera. On my drive home from work one early evening, I decided to stop and capture the sunset over Table Rock Lake. It was a gorgeous evening, and the winter sun would be setting soon. I parked my SUV at a state park entry point parking lot, and mine was the only car in sight, but that didn't alarm me. I hopped out and realized how incredibly chilly it was. It was sunny, but blistering cold. I opened the back of my vehicle and put on some gloves and a better pair of shoes. Then I took off down a trail that led to the edge of the lake. I had noticed the Branson Bell showboat slowly making its way across the lake for its sunset voyage, and I thought it would be neat to capture it in the time lapse. I was a single 31-year-old female with a lifetime of experience doing risky things on my own without consequence. The path down to the water was marked with large rocks on each side. I was in a hurry to get down to the shore and get into recording position. I lost my footing and fell down hard. My head rested on a pointy-shaped big rock that I think would have knocked me out had I not managed to literally stop the impact at the moment we collided. My knee and one of my hands stung badly. It suddenly hit me how stupid this was because no one knew where I was, and I nearly incapacitated myself on a vacant trail in freezing temperatures, with it being minutes from dark nonetheless. As I sat down there recovering from my fall, I decided I was close enough to the shore, and I would just film right there where I fell. I was about to find out that falling down was the least of my worries.
"Can I borrow a light?"
I nearly jumped out of my skin. I turned around and there he was. He was standing about 20 feet behind me. I replied to him that I was sorry, but I didn't have a lighter because I didn't smoke.
"I saw you getting out of your car up there. You have a real nice ass."
Where had he been? There seriously wasn't a soul in sight when I parked and headed down to the trail. The next part you might find hard to believe because I myself still cannot grasp that there are people out there like this. But his fourth sentence to me, and within less than a minute of appearing, he said,
"Do you want to f-?"
I knew I was in a lot of trouble. No one would hear me if I were to scream. Sure, the Branson Bell was out in the water, but it was several football field lengths away, and I'm sure I was invisible to them. They wouldn't hear me over the sounds of the massive ship anyhow. Without missing a beat, I told him that I was too cold to do it outside, and we should go to my car. I pretended to be interested. In my mind, I just knew I needed to get off this trail before the sun went down. And obviously, I'd abandoned capturing the sunset. I don't recall all the things he said during the walk up to the parking lot. But when he asked if he could touch my butt during the walk, I, air quote, happily agreed. I knew it was a test. I still wasn't 100% sure he was going to let me make it off the trail, and anything I could do or say to please him on that walk was my ticket out. How had I gotten myself into this awful situation? God, I was stupid. Just please let me make it out of this and I swear I'll be smarter. He kept his hand down the back of my pants for the rest of the walk. We made it to the parking lot, but much to my disappointment, I was still the only car there other than a vehicle that wasn't parked in a real spot and hadn't been there earlier. I knew it was his car. He'd been hiding and watching me, and then he'd pulled up to the trail entrance and left his car at it before he began following me. You may ask why I didn't call 911 on the trail. Well, he was watching my every move, and I wanted to make it off the trail unharmed and alive. I figured it being below freezing was a good excuse to refuse to do what he wanted to do out there on the trail, but please him by promising to do it somewhere warmer. Unfortunately, the parking lot was far enough off the regular highway that passing cars could not see it. My next mission was to make it to my own vehicle and escape. We were standing by his car and he continued saying things that he was going to do to me that seemed too graphic for me to write about. I was still playing along. I tried to get his name and number out of him, but he refused on both. Why would someone refuse to give you even their name? He began unzipping his pants and trying to get me to do things to him, so I insisted we walk to my SUV. First, though, he grabbed something out of his car, and I never got a good look at it, but I'm pretty sure it was a handgun. We walked across the parking lot towards my car. I pushed unlock, knowing that only pushing it once would only unlock the driver's side door. I had my keys in ready position. I jumped in as he was attempting to open the passenger door. I threw it in reverse and backed up as the tires spun on loose gravel. Then I put it into drive and floored it. I was too afraid to look in the rearview mirror. I called 911 and gave them his description. Oddly enough, he was a handsome enough guy. Stood about 6 foot tall, blonde hair, brown eyes. Medium fair skin, a slightly muscular build, and nice features. Probably around 25 to 30 years old. You wouldn't look at him and think anything remarkable or otherwise. I was never in a position to see his license plate, but I told them about his car. He drove an older, probably early 90s, pale blue car. It reminded me of my great-grandmother's Oldsmobile. I didn't even have a first name to give them. After taking down my information, I never heard from anyone regarding my report again. I may never know what exactly he has done, but I do know that I sensed the presence of absolute evil that evening. I'm not a writer, so I hope that this story makes sense. I've never had anything like this happen to me, but this shook me to my core. Last night, my best friend and roommate Mara and I were talking about getting pizza for dinner. She wanted to go to a pizza place, but I can't eat there because it hurts my stomach. So I told her we can both call Pizza Inn for a pickup, and I would just go get pizza from a pub just about 3 minutes away from her pizza place. She agreed and we went out to get our pizzas. We went to get mine first. The place I got my pizza from is a pub. We pulled in and I went to pull into a parking spot that seemed open, but realized a grayish blue minivan parked crooked and that there was no way that I could park there. My roommate and I were complaining about how they were essentially taking up two parking spots, and I pulled to park in on the other side. So now we were parked so that the van was in front of us to the right. We both commented about how the van was on, but no one seemed like they were in it. My roommate exclaimed,
"Is that a child in there?"
Upon closer examination, my eyes could see a figure moving around in the back seat of the van.
"I don't think that's a child,"
I said to my roommate hesitantly.
"Do you want to come in with me?" "No, I'll be fine,"
she replied. I almost told her I thought she should come in, but I figured the guy was probably just getting high or something in the van, and then was planning on going back inside.
"Okay, but lock the doors as soon as I get out,"
I told her. She agreed, and I heard the doors to my SUV lock as I walked into the pub. It was about 9:15 p.m., so it was dark out, but luckily it wasn't too far of a walk. I go inside and start heading toward the cash register to pick up and pay for my pizza. As I walk in, I notice a guy on the other side of the pub get up and walk towards my direction. Once I reach the register, the man sat down in the empty table behind me. I didn't think anything of it, I just figured he was picking up food too. There was a middle-aged couple ordering food ahead of me, and then it was my turn to pay for my food. There were a few waitresses running out food through the small pub through the right door to the register. I paid for my food and signed the receipt and turned to leave. I see the man get up too. I assumed to order his food. Then I realized I didn't have my debit card, so I set the pizza back down and checked my pockets. The man during this time sat back down at the table too. I frantically looked around and looked up to see the man watching me. Still not thinking anything of it, I turned my attention back to the waitress who was now pouring a beer for another customer.
"Can I get you something else, hon?"
she asked me.
"Yeah, I think you still have my card,"
I answered. She apologized and gave me my card back, and I finally turned to leave. And the man again got up. I walked towards the door and could feel him behind me. I felt he was close, but I didn't realize how close until I opened the first door and turned to hold it for him, and realized his face was mere inches from mine. He had a messy gray and black beard, gray eyes, and two teardrop tattoos. For some stupid reason, I automatically said sorry, like I was the one way too close to him. I started to feel nervous when I went to open the last door and he was still that close behind me. Still, I was determined to go to my car, feeling thankful that my roommate was waiting for me. I got outside and felt the man still just as close, and I tried to walk a bit faster without looking alarmed, but he picked up his pace too. I was close to my car and could see my roommate with her phone light illuminating the passenger side as she scrolled through social media. Once he saw that I had someone in the car I was heading toward, he stopped walking so close to me and turned toward his left sharply. I got to my car and had my roommate unlock the door. I promptly got in and locked the door behind me. My roommate asked if I was okay because I must have seemed on edge. I didn't answer her yet when I looked up and noticed the man that was following me, talking to the guy in the back seat of the van. Freaked out, I told her what happened as we headed to her pizza place. My roommate, getting more freaked out while I told her the story, kept checking to make sure they were not following us. Luckily, they weren't. While we talked, we realized that the men probably parked that way on purpose so they had room to get someone in the back seat of the van. and the reason the man noticed me as soon as I came in was because I looked as if I was a young woman, completely alone. But when he saw I was with someone, he decided to just leave me alone. She convinced me to call the non-emergency police line. The dispatcher told me it was a good thing I called and that officers would check it out. I then called the pub where I was to let them know what happened. I started explaining what happened, and before I even got through a sentence, the woman cut me off and goes,
"Wait, you were just here?"
I told her, "Yeah, about 10 minutes ago now." She then says,
"Did the guy have face tattoos?"
And my heart seemed to stop.
Yeah, he did.
I responded shakily,
"I'm so sorry that happened to you. I'm not the waitress that helped you, but I was the one taking food out to people while you were here waiting for your pizza. I noticed the man watching you. I thought it seemed weird. I didn't know just how weird, though. I'm so sorry."
So he was watching me, waiting for me to leave. Probably to get me in the van with his friend so they could do God only knows what with me. There's been a lot of abductions here in Lansing, Michigan lately. I'm just glad that I was aware of the man, that my roommate was with me, and that I am reminded by this podcast to stay safe out there. A few years ago, I worked at a small local pet store during college. I was one of two women who worked there, and we didn't generally work at nights together. This store kind of specializes in saltwater fish and reptiles in particular, so it wasn't too odd to have a newbie reptile or aquarium people or people just looking to learn more before actually getting a little companion. About a year into working there, this one man would come in and start asking questions about the bearded dragons in particular. I humored him for the first couple of times he came in and answered his questions for an hour and a half or 2 hours each time he came in. But then he just kept coming in, not buying anything, not looking at other animals. Refused to talk to my other co-workers standing right next to me. He was definitely a dude with a creepy vibe. But after about the third time, this guy came in and questioned me about bearded dragons' mating habits for an hour. We all started getting uncomfortable. He knew my schedule because we were such a small store. I would call my friends and tell them to come hang out at the shop when he was there because he was just so persistent about talking to me, and only about the bearded dragons with the occasional, "Do you have a boyfriend?" or pickup line. I told him I wasn't interested each time and told him that I had a boyfriend, even though I didn't. At first, we were all pretty forgiving, chalking it up to social awkwardness. But it started getting scary when he would come in, look for me, not find me, but he would find my car, with significant damage at the time and decorated very obviously my car back then, and just hang out outside the shop. My boss and manager started telling me to hide out in our back employees only rat/mouse room when he would come in. My friends were weirded out. I was getting uncomfortable around him, and my co-workers were actively trying to curb his enthusiasm for coming in. I ended up quitting that job. Around a month later, I'm watching the news with my dad, and oh, buddy, were we in for a surprise. The same guy had been escorted off of his ex's property in a local town by police. He came back to the house the same night and murdered her. When she didn't show up for work, her co-workers called for a welfare check. Police get there. He answers the door and tells them his name is Zeus. That was most definitely not his real name. He lets the police in and they found her in the bathtub on a tarp. They also found bloody plates, silverware, and pans in her sink. He had cooked and eaten parts of her heart, liver, and brain. He's still waiting for trial in our state, and his interviews and clips of news people questioning him while the police are escorting him to court are just bonkers. He tried to claim demonic possession at one point. He had previously murdered two people and been released from prison before moving to our area. Trust your instincts about the people you interact with. People are wild. Let's definitely not meet again. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.
Sweet dreams.